Miss Pratt, I do not know what judgments historians of the future will make of my record in Senate, but for me, I can't think of any more important issue than disability. It's one that I have pursued with more constancy and has made a greater difference in people's lives. And I hope others will reflect that we have made some progress. There's still a lot to do, and I'd ask that my entire statement made a part of the record.
Mr. President.
The chair recognizes the senator from Kansas.
Mr. President, I withdraw my request for recognition.
We'll leave here with my colleague upset.
Chair recognizes the
I'll
majority.
I'll soon be your constituent, and I'll be asking for legislative help. I'll be writing to you daily, Nancy. So. I've just asked that my entire statement made a part of the record, and I would...
Without objection.
Mr. President, last Wednesday, the Medicare trustees released their report on the state of the Medicare Trust Fund, and the report was grim. Instead of going bankrupt in 2002, as they previously forecasted, the trustees conclude that Medicare will go bankrupt in 2001, just 5 years from now. And I think it's fair to say that we've tried to deal with this issue honestly, and I commend my colleagues for trying to do so. We did put forward a budget that would protect, preserve, and strengthen Medicare by reducing its unsustainable rate of growth, not cuts, but rate of growth, while still allowing for a healthy growth rate. We did not claim the plan was perfect or that it solved the long-term problem, but it was a real attempt to alleviate a crisis that will immediately impact 37 million seniors and disabled Americans and will have repercussions on tens of millions more. In May of 1995, I called for a bipartisan commission to be set up to save Medicare, similar to the one that saved Social Security. That idea was then dismissed by the White House, but now there's some indication that the administration is thinking along the same lines. So I would just suggest that we ought to try it. And so I'm introducing a bill today that would establish a blue ribbon bipartisan advisory commission to help deal with this crisis. They would be responsible for reviewing the current short-term and long-term condition of the Medicare trust funds. The commission would be composed of 15 members appointed by the President, Senate, and House of Representatives. The members of this commission will be from both political parties, because it's clear to me that if we're successful, we must put politics aside and work on a bipartisan basis. In April 1995, the Medicare trustees, three of whom are members of the Clinton administration, issued their original report and urged prompt, effective, and decisive action. The administration instead chose to attack Republican plans to save the system. So it seems to me that we need to address this. I know there are going to be some say we have a short-term solution. Maybe a short-term solution can be agreed upon, but whatever happens, we need to address the long term, just as we did in 1983 with the Social Security Commission. And I read just in the weekend, and I think in the Washington Post, that the Social Security Trust Fund looked pretty good until the year 2029. So that's a pretty good fix, 1983 to 2029. And my view is we can do the same with Medicare, and we protect the rights of those entitled to Medicare, 37 million Americans, for a long, long time. So I'd send the bill to the desk and ask it to be appropriately referred. And I would say that it's co-sponsored by everybody on it, by Senators Roth, Simpson, Pressler, Hatch, Chafee, and Murkowski, who are on the Senate Finance Committee. And I'd certainly welcome additional co-sponsors on either side of the aisle. Again, this is not a part, it's going to be a bipartisan commission. And later today, I will introduce a bipartisan commission bill on campaign finance reform, something I talked about in 1990, not last week or last year, but it's in the record. In fact, Senator Mitchell and I even experimented with our own little commission. Problem is, there wasn't any enforcement there, and so Congress didn't do anything. And I'm no rocket scientist, but I've been here long enough to know that if Republicans are in charge, we're going to try to have a bill that's a little better for us. If the Democrats are in charge, they want a bill that's a little better for them. So I'll be introducing a bill later along with a statement which calls for a bipartisan commission, which would have some teeth in it. So if you they made recommendations, Congress would act up or down. And I would hope that something that we can get our arms around, not going to happen soon, but I think we need to focus on it. We're into another election cycle, and I know there's a lot of criticism from a lot of people about fundraising. None of us like to do it, at least I don't. But I do believe we can address this in a very responsible, objective way by finding people outside of politics who understand the problem and can deal with it and treat all of us fairly, whether we're, again, Republicans or Democrats. Mr. President, I yield the floor.
Now, a newsmaker interview with Richard Lamb, the former three-term Democratic governor of Colorado. He's in the news because of his expressed interest in being the presidential candidate of Ross Perot's Reform Party. Governor Lamb, welcome.
Thank you.
Associated Press moved a story about you late this afternoon, Governor, and it said that what you were having was a flirtation with running for president. Is that the correct word, flirtation, at this point?
I really don't. It seems to me very important that we build up a third political force in America. Whether that's a third political party remains to be seen. But I think that I would really like to help mold the clay of a third political movement in the United States that sort of faces America's real problems directly.
Do you personally want to be president of the United States?
I don't know how to answer that. Yes, I guess that I would be willing to do so, but it's not. I've never lusted. Of all the politicians in Colorado, you know, Gary Hart, Tim Wirth, Pat Schroeder, that have tried for that. I feel very passionately about the world we're leaving our children, and I think that neither political party has an agenda that'll keep America great.
What's their problem? What's the problem with these other two parties?
Two big things. Number one, I think that neither of them are equal to the magnitude of the budget problems. I think that when I hear people talk about Medicare, it's certainly not the problem that I have defined. I think we have to learn to run a nation of 50 Floridas, where the average age is going to be twice what the average age has been historically. I think in terms of campaign and election reforms, I think that both political parties are controlled by a handful of special interests that I'm just tired of. I think the role of money that it plays in elections and the role of money plays in campaigning. I think there are five orphan issues that I identified to the Reform Party in California that I think are sort of going begging, and I would like to have a political force that can help bring those to the public.
Why do you think the Reform Party of Ross Perot is the way to go?
Well, now look, I mean, you say sort of that's pejorative in its definition.
Okay, all right.
I think when you think about it here, Ross Perot has given us a great gift. We have a party that is filled with very good people. I mean, this is what's impressed me. I'm impressed by their enthusiasm, their dedication. They are worried about the world that they're leaving their children. And so I look at this and I say, hey, wait a minute. You've got a party out there at a time of maximum need in the country. You've got problems in the Republican Party, problems in the Democratic Party, and all of a sudden here on August 18th, we can come along and nominate almost anybody to run for president. I don't think it ought to be, maybe it shouldn't be Ross Perot, maybe it shouldn't be me, but it could. People should really let their imaginations run wild. We have a method to give a very realistic, hard choice agenda and win a plurality of the American public.
Well, the presumption, the conventional wisdom has been this is the, and I said it in introducing you, Ross Perot's Reform Party. And in my question, I did the same. And everybody else puts it the same way. He started it. He funded
it.
This, there wouldn't be a Reform Party if it wasn't for Ross Perot. You're saying that's not true, that Ross Perot does not control the Reform Party. It isn't his party?
I'm saying it's not true that he does not control the Reform Party. I think what you said previously is true. I think that he should get very good, great credit for helping form this, seeing the idea, but he has said continuously that he's looking for a real race of four or five people. Now, it may be that he runs for president, it may be, but I think he has to be taken at his word. I know he does not control the people that I've been talking about. They love him, they respect him, but they recognize that he may not be the best candidate for 96. So we have an opportunity. He's given us the clay that we can mold almost anything for 96.
Let's say that he said, hey, I do want to run. Would you oppose him for the Reform Party nomination?
No, it would seem to me to that extent that I would not want to oppose Ross Perot in the party that he helped form, just for nostalgia's sake. But I do believe that there's a great possibility that he does that he doesn't want to run, and that other people, I mean, come on in, the water's fine. I think very strongly you don't have to leave the Democratic Party, you don't have to leave the Republican Party, but recognize that both parties are inadequate in their agenda for our kids. We're leaving our kids fiscal chaos. Nobody can tell the American public the real problems of the future. I would suggest we have a wonderful historic opportunity for the Reform Party to give a realistic agenda to the American public and call on their best rather than pandering to their worst.
Governor, what is the single most important thing that the American people are not being told by President Clinton, by Senator Dole, and all the folks on their sides, respective sides?
I think that retiring the baby boomers is going to be one of the great challenges in America, that you cannot make fiscal sense out of the future of our children without taking on entitlements. Number two, I think that both...
Entitlement, let's stop there. Entitlements means do something about Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security.
Yeah, you can see just by the fact that you picked that up, I mean, it's so controversial, neither political party. But, Jim, I figure that you know, here, President Clinton, this is sort of where I went off the reservation. The Medicare is every bit as serious problem as the Republicans say it is, and worse. I figure that we're to make a sustainable program for our children, we have to make 10 times the cuts that President Clinton did.
How many times?
Ten times.
10 times the cuts in Medicare?
Jim, there's, you know, we've had this explosion of medical science. At the same time, we're getting older. We've added 30 years of human life expectancy this century, and we're adding 3 months every year. I mean, this is great news. My 88-year-old father just got back from Europe with his older brother. I mean, I'm happy. I'm 60 years old. But you've got to come to grips with the implications of running a nation that has an average age of about around 40.
But coming to grips politically, is that possible to cut Medicare 10 times?
Yeah. Jim, we are the heirs of, you know, we've had people that died on Guadalcanal, that went into the out of the Inchon Reservoir. Every generation has had to sacrifice. My mother and father fought a war and a depression, and let me...